It's high noon.
All right, welcome back to Foul Play. That is Fantasy Overwatch League Play. This is episode 43. Sorry for me being confusing about episode numbers before. I've made some mistakes in the past that I have since apologized for, so we can move on from those. But as always, I am HeebieJB, and I am joined yet again by Teoyama. Teoyama, how are you?
I'm good, man.
Okay.
I'm excited by roll queue. You know, I feel like, man, I'm gonna get in there and just be like a grandmaster on every roll. I feel rejuvenated.
On every roll. Yeah, I feel like separating the three will somehow make me just so much better.
Exactly. I could just, it's easier to put things in boxes, and I love boxes, you know.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. If I can organize my own skill value, I'm a huge fan. Yeah. Have you played any of the new roll queue at all?
I've been preparing for it by going to the container store and just kind of looking at these different boxes to shift into, but I did actually play a bit.
Okay.
It's a little weird. I will say that choosing tank or support and then getting stuck with horrible DPS is really tough because you can't switch. What I'm really not looking forward to is, like, for example, like on Lijiang Tower, I love to play Pharah on Gardens, but I like to play Zarya on Control Center, you know? So those types of like situations where I'd like to switch between different roles will be tough. But overall, I do feel like my games are a little more normal than they were in the past.
Oh, yeah. I'm willing to trade all kinds of those negatives that you mentioned for the positive rewards that I feel like I've been getting from my role queue experience. I absolutely love it. I think it just gives you a chance to feel like if you really do excel in your role, you can just kind of be fine with that. I feel like, I don't know, even when I lose, I can still kind of let out a sigh of relief and be like, well, at least I played well, or to like what was expected of me. Like, I think I can still, I find myself losing less games because our team sucks and more just losing because I feel like the other team was better collectively than our team. And I'm very okay with losing games because of that. Even if I think I was individually better than another person, I'm like, well, their entire team was collectively better than us, and I'll take that loss. I'll do that. That's what I've enjoyed about role queue a lot. I find it a ton of fun. I've done my placements on tank and DPS, and now I just gotta get my support games in, and we'll see where I land. I'm not gonna admit my SR on a recorded podcast because that's shameful. And
that's okay.
We lose all integrity as a competitive Overwatch podcast, so I can't I can't do that. But in terms of fantasy, we have seen some very interesting things. How are your team scoring this last week? How'd you do? Like across platforms?
I did in High Noon. I don't know how I did because it's a mess.
Okay. Yeah.
I'm assuming I did really well, but I don't know. In Daily, I did pretty well. I did have one team that was called All Faith in Libero in caps lock, where Libero was my star DPS. And
Ooh.
We did not do so well.
No, it doesn't sound great.
But my other teams, I got around like top 10.
Okay, nice.
But for some reason, my lineups, I thought I had lineups for Saturday and Sunday, and neither of them saved. So I'm a Thursday-Friday boy this week.
Yeah, big unluck on the Saturday-Sunday.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, how about you? Yeah, unfortunately, I'm the same way. I missed my Saturday and Sunday entries. I'm very sorry to our listeners. I wish I could have been there. I'm sure your teams were great. I am less consistent. I am definitely a feast or famine fantasy player, it seems like, because I like cleaned up on like my Thursday games. I did extremely well, and then Friday I was like bottom of the barrel. It was real nasty. I need to work on my consistency for sure. But I was really happy with, I think all in all, I'm happy with my fantasy results this week. As long as I have a number one somewhere, I'm like, well, we take
you
it.
You were the hungry hippo, and you feasted on Thursday, and then you were That's too true. Full on Friday.
And the watering hole dried up on Friday, moving on.
The hungry hippo.
Yeah, exactly. Hungry hippo. Oh, man. Well, in another life, in our Zootopia world,
yeah,
alternate universe, that is, I am a hippo. But I did want to say, on High Noon, I've actually been scoring like pretty okay. I think my roster needed a lot of shaking up after the stage 4 entrance. I didn't get to it as quick as I should have, taking some extra losses, but I felt like I've kind of righted the ship, recovering a little bit. Thankfully, flex supports are still scoring insanely well in all formats. It seems like it will be in the fantasy Overwatch biblical canon at some point. Like, mm-hmm. It will never be defeated by anything else, so very yeah. happy with those results that I'm getting, because I, in every draft I was in, I scooped up flex supports like my first 3 picks. So I did been doing rather well in all those areas. I also trusted Sinatra and Nene more than anyone I drafted with, and I got them in like all 4 of my drafts. It was unbelievable. So I have a very large win to lean back on in terms of my early season. So big help. So in terms of this week, been doing pretty well. In terms of the overall season, very happy with how fantasy has played out for me. I'm excited that we're moving into playoff season, though. I'm excited to see where that lands us. HighNoon.gg is probably not going to be having a playoff format. At least it hasn't been announced to me, and I haven't seen anywhere on the website. So if we do hear something about that, and you should be trying to make that playoff push, we'll let you know. But until we see that, we can't talk about it because it's unconfirmed. So F's in chat for playoffs on High Noon. But let's move into our opening thoughts for this upcoming couple of weeks. We got 2 more weeks left in the regular season, and then we shift into playoffs. So the last 2 weeks are the majority of teams playing. Now, one of the sad but also kind of cool parts of the end of season is that we have teams that are eliminated from playoff contention. We have teams from Paris down in the standings. That includes Washington, Florida, Houston, Paris. We have these teams that just are not, unfortunately, going to be making it into playoffs. But in terms of a couple of these teams, that has given them the chance to play spoiler and gotten themselves a bit of an upgrade. So, Teoyama, talk to me about these teams that are going to be playing spoiler and are, coincidentally, scoring really high in fantasy right now.
Yeah, I would say, like, right now, these teams that are mathematically eliminated from playoffs, they're obviously playing super stress-free. The biggest examples are the Justice and the Mayhem, mm-hmm. Who are respectively, you know, 19th and 20th in the league, and, you know, there's no chance they make the playoffs. But both of them over the past few weeks have been putting in a ton of work and either having close games or just dominating other teams that are higher in the, mm-hmm. the standings. And I think what we're seeing there is that these teams that are playing spoiler, you know, it's not like they stopped caring because they're out of the playoffs. Instead, they're kind of just playing stress-free, mm-hmm. and their players are getting loose. And so they're, instead of like experimenting with the lineups too much, they seem to have recently just kind of let loose and let they're kind of looking forward to next season. So with the Justice, with both of those teams, like, you can go after their star players right mm-hmm. now because those guys are getting all the play time as they try to figure out if they will be star players next season. Yeah. You know?
That's so the thing is, like, you can you could say they're playing stress-free, but in all honesty, their tryouts are starting now. Like,
yeah,
if you want to stay, if you want to stay on an Overwatch League team, you have to show it immediately because, I mean, we're only in season 2, but like, even after season 1, teams that performed pretty poorly, like, exploded and are doing rebuilds, and I have no reason to believe that that's not going to change, or that it's going to change, sorry. I believe it is not going to change. So, I mean, if you want to stay on an Overwatch League team and not be sent back down to Contenders Jail, like, you have to be performing extremely well right now. To prove that you're worth it. And teams like Washington and Florida, and even Toronto in a couple of situations, are kind of doing that. Man, sure, Boston sure as heck isn't.
Nope.
But to be fair, they didn't play it all last week, so maybe that week off gave them, like, you know, some Goku-level power-ups, and this week they'll be unbelievable and off the chain. I like to believe. I don't think it'll happen, but I have a little bit of faith in...
They did play, I'm pretty sure, and they got smoked by the Justice.
Oh, shoot, you're right.
So
that did happen.
It was the Rain who had the week off. But I think, like, in particular, you're seeing that the best players on these kind of bottom-of-the-barrel teams, given their entire season's worth of points and their trajectory, they've been available for very cheap on Daily Fantasy, and they've put up huge numbers. So like in the past few weeks, we've seen Corey go from being like, you could buy him for what, like it was six. Around, it was like 10 to 13. It was like really low, you know, not quite six.
He was a Zarya player. We have to remember that, I suppose. Yeah.
But it was like 10 to 13, you know, which is a fraction. That's like what, 10% of your entire budget. Mm-hmm. And then now he's like flying up, like he's closer. He's way closer to 20, you know, and you're seeing the same thing. Like even Ark, you know, the Justice's main support is at 15 this week, you know. So all of these guys who you could have had on a bargain are now rising in price to reflect how successful they've been in the past weeks. Mm-hmm. And, you know, they still might even be a bargain. You know, Saya player and Corey are now being priced around the average for successful DPS. But I think like Gargoyle is still a good option for cheap.
Who played extremely well this last week, by the way.
Yeah, Gargoyle and Sansom were each like two of the top tanks this past week. Mm-hmm. And of course, like Hagopion, like he was available for dirt cheap last week. He was your sleeper and he just popped off this past week. You know, so we're seeing that these teams that play spoiler, like they're very profitable for points if you go after them.
That's true. And kind of the inverse is somewhat true with a couple of these teams, maybe like Vancouver and New York a little bit specifically. New York kind of feeding their brains out in terms of fantasy points and maybe a little bit of their actual play. Hopefully they can turn it around for playoffs. I mean, I just want to see them do well with it, but man, I don't see the meta changing all that much come playoffs.
No, New York is in a horrible spot right now. I said it last week that we can't really call them higher than a mid-tier team right now, and it was proven again this week. Like,
it's insane.
The Spark aren't an incredible team, and the New York like barely beat them, and then they got smoked by the Charge. It was like one of the roughest games to watch. Yeah. They just
admittedly
like,
Charge
they
played
look like
super
a
well that game though. I will say
the
then, like,
the Charge are sick.
New York looked, but, like, bad, but, man, did Charge look super good. So
and,
I think that was a little bit of just kneecap broken.
But I don't buy the argument that, like, New York is sandbagging right now working on stuff I don't buy that they're experimenting and looking forward to the playoffs, because the Titans are doing that, and the Titans are still competitive, you know? Exactly. New York is, like, if they are experimenting, then why is their May Reaper comp struggling so much? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't make sense.
Oh, yeah, it's rough. So be wary of a couple of your top teams, New York specifically. Vancouver is playing a little bit of roster roulette as well. So in terms of fantasy points, you want to be careful when you're buying those up, especially on dailies, because they'll still be costing a lot of points, and they may not be your greatest investment. You might have a better luck picking one of the high-tier to mid-tier teams who you think is going to pop off, or who knows, grabbing a Corey or something like that. Specifically, though, I'm saying, like, Shock and, I mean, Gladiators score insanely well, it seems like, for this whole stage. Maybe it's because they're being a little too map 5-y for my liking. My heart
very
is
map
dying.
5-y. That's 3 5 mappers in the past 2 weeks.
Yeah, so fantasy point galore, Josh Hebert, cardiac arrest. So it is a little scary for me. Heebie-jeebie, right. I'm on an internet podcast. so that is a bit of a concern. Now, the last thing before we get into our regular scheduled leaders and feeders, Teo, you wanted to talk about role prioritization, or who you should be selecting in these certain categories based on the role that they play. So main support, flex support, that's easy. But we particularly want to talk about projectile DPS versus your hit scan versus your Reaper, I guess.
Yeah, the Reaper hit scan.
Reaper or Widow, and then like May. Yeah, talk about.
Yeah,
talk
I just me. I figured it was worth touching on quickly. Just at this point, you know, we've gotten through 3 weeks of role queue, and we were looking at it in the beginning, kind of wondering which DPS would be scoring well, because you know, in different metas, we've seen different players score well. You know, so in GOATs, it was like you wanted your Zarya player. Mm-hmm. In Dive, you wanted that Tracer Widow hybrid.
Right.
Now, we're not really sure where it is exactly, but one thing we've seen emerge, and Nero is a perfect example of this from the Guangzhou Charge, is that if you can get the player whose niche is to put up a lot of damage and get a bunch of elims, so that'll be the player who's playing Hanzo, like Erster, the player who's playing Genji, which would be Erster or Nero, and like especially the Junkrat, Like, Nero comes in, and when he is playing maps, he's playing Junkrat and Genji pretty much. Like, he's getting a lot of time on those relative to other players, and he's putting up a ton of points, even though he's not playing all of the maps, and he does get subbed out here and there, you know?
Yeah.
So despite being in a DPS rotation, his the heroes he plays when he is in that rotation are very valuable, so he puts up a lot of points. And you can see the same thing from the Justice. You know, Corey puts up more points than Stratus because Corey's playing the Widow and the Hanzo more than Stratus is.
And the Reaper. So, yeah. That's huge.
So in May Reaper, we're generally seeing the Reaper put up more points because the Reaper gets that burst of damage and kills with Death Blossom and, you know, by burning down the tanks. Whereas the May, when you play May, you're kind of, you can get damage, you can get kills, but the pace is slower, you know? So I think the change of, it's worth keeping in mind as we're looking at role queue and kind of the evolution of the meta from a fantasy perspective, is that like those DPS players that are there for that change of pace, like heavy limb, heavy damage spurts, those guys seem to be putting up a ton of points.
Right.
And so... yeah, definitely, you know, Nero's an example of that, and it's worth keeping that in mind as you're gauging player points. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. Yeah, so that, I mean, that makes a lot of sense, and I think this is the meta where you can have a player who is subbed out, but they can boom enough to
exactly
to make it like worthy. So, yeah, really good option. Good word on that role prioritization. So, unfortunately, HighNoon.gg a little funky this week. We had a lot of the points go through, but some of the games did not, and so some of the points got low. So instead of telling you leaders and feeders that we weren't super confident in, we're just gonna kind of jump into some honorable mentions and just teams that performed extremely well. So, like we said last week, Gladiators, Map 5 Central, they scored extremely well. Shez popping off in terms of fantasy points. Amazing to see, especially when a player is playing Moira and Anna a lot of the time. But, I mean, obviously Zen as well, so he's scoring a ton of points. Sherfor, another one of those players like Nero that you were saying, not actually subbed out, but is often playing the Hanzo, playing the Reaper in those compositions because Decay is, I guess, the Gladiators' May player. So... Gladiators are looking great in terms of fantasy until the end of the year. Like, I don't think I would ever take my Gladiators players out until the end of the season. I mean, I know there's only 2 weeks, but next game they play, it should be like somewhat competitive, maybe. I never know with this team. But they and then they play two really good games the following week. So I'm very pumped about owning Gladiators players on fantasy rosters.
Yeah, and I think it's worth noting that, you know, a lot of their games are obviously going to five maps, so that's going to boost their scores. But even if they weren't going to five maps, they would still be scoring a ton. You know, like Shaz put up in his best game this week, he had 255.8 points, right? If you take like one-fifth of that, it's probably 51.
Right.
So even without one-fifth of that production, he still would have been in like the top 20 players because he would have had over 200 points, you know? So.
Absolutely.
It's not just that the Gladiators are getting that extra amount of those extra buckets from playing an extra long game, but they're just putting up a bunch of points on average per map, you know?
Yeah.
So, yeah. But it's definitely worth noting that of the players this week, like, what is this? The top 15 scorers all played five maps.
Right.
So... that it's always going to be the overwhelming factor, but if you get guys who are doing it by such a wide margin, then it points to the fact that they're scoring a lot on average as well.
I would say it does hurt my heart sometimes that this podcast really could just be clicking record button one time and then saying play people who play map fives and then ending the podcast. So that is a little unfortunate, but hopefully we're giving you a bit deeper of analysis, maybe why that's happening, who you should be expecting. But Teoyama, you had maybe a bit of an underdog that you thought scored extremely well in the leaders section that you wanted to give a shout out to. So the floor is yours.
Yeah, I wanted to shout out Sansom. Like I remember when the Justice picked up Lulzish and Elivote, you guys were telling me that Sansom was gonna get benched. And I was like, I don't know. I feel like this is where he turns it around and he starts playing pretty well. And then weeks upon weeks later, the guy popped off last week. And just to double check, I don't think either of the oh no, wait a second.
To be
So the
fair, I
Justice
still
had
think
one
that
game.
he gets benched next season, but continue.
Well, the Justice had one game that went to map five, and their other one was a quick 3-1, right? But despite that, both of Sansom's scores were in the top 40 among players. So
Great.
he had the fifth most points overall with 228.5 on
Nice.
daily, and
Great.
that's always the five mapper. And then he had the 37th most points overall with 182.7
And as a tank
in their
player,
four
having the
mapper.
37th most points overall is pretty huge. Like,
Yeah,
that's
and then
pretty
having the
amazing.
fifth most is absurd,
Unbelievable, yes.
so if that's like the ballpark that he's playing in, he's obviously playing at a really high level. The Justice are overall, but unless we start seeing a split like where Guido got taken out a little bit for Sleepy, I think Sleepy like played one or two maps,
Oh, that's interesting. I actually didn't know that. That's good to know.
So I think unless that starts happening for Sansom, we're going to keep seeing him put up a lot of points. And so
Well,
him
it
and
won't
Gar
happen for Sansom because
yeah
visa issues. Like,
Oh, you're right.
you
Absolutely
won't
correct.
see either of them getting subbed out. So, I mean, Sansom's like, yeah, lock and load. When the
Yeah, and
Washington's on a
so
tear right now, so I'd play them.
yeah. And yeah, just it reiterates what we were saying earlier about spoiler teams like Sansom and Gargoyle, like you could go after them very easily. I'm more comfortable playing them than I am playing somebody like Fury right now, or Michelle who has the possibility of being benched for Zumba.
I'm
So,
comfortable with
yeah.
Michelle. I've been doing pretty well every time I play Michelle. He's been kind of one of my, like, I don't know, my go-tos. Like, if I'm seeing him on the tank availability list and I can afford him in terms of daily, I'm
Yeah.
usually playing Michelle because I haven't seen Zumba on stage in a while. But
Yeah. No, it's
but yeah.
accurate. And Michelle's also playing well. Like he had the 15th most points overall this week and then
Yeah,
the
they're great.
109th. So like he's still, he's contributing. I'm just saying like Sansom and Gargoyle, they're not household names yet, but in fantasy they're putting up points and they're worth keeping in mind.
Yeah, it's fantastic. Okay, so in terms of feeders, again, since we're missing some of these stats, some players look even worse than they were. Like, I know New York looks even worse because some of their games weren't API recorded, I think. I don't know. I don't know how Daily's operating then, but anyways, in terms of that, Boston. Ooh, hey, we're talking about spoiler teams doing well. They are not that one thus far. Who knows? Maybe these last couple of weeks will be a pop-up for them, but I don't see it, and the numbers sure don't show it. Holy
No.
smokes, they were looking very poor. So, Boston players fed their brains out. Also, Unko was benched this week for Harry Hook. I believe he kind of benched himself. I think Unko wanted a break. Kind of seems to be the Dallas thing. It's just like I want the break. Interesting.
I feel well about the Unko thing. I actually kind of feel like Dallas is going to start playing real stress-free real soon, and they're going to start playing well. I don't know why, just a gut feeling. And the fact that they went to five against the Gladiators points to that.
Yeah.
It's weird that Unko was out. Unko's been like a great value in fantasy, but like I got to touch on this Boston thing real quick.
Yeah,
Like,
go for it.
all right, everybody knows that they have not put effort into signing DPS. All right, Boston's MO since the beginning of time has been we think we're the Patriots of the Overwatch League. We're gonna get minimally above average players, pay them cheap, get them to buy into the system, trade them for value, once they start wanting too much money, blah blah blah, our organization, like it's gonna work out. All right, it just has not worked out. They got rid of Gamsu, he started playing better elsewhere. They got Aimgod and he seemed like a great value. He's been perma-benched for no reason for Persia, who has not performed well at all. This past week, that Color Hex Blase DPS lineup was okay.
Wasn't
They were
even
kind of a
that wasn't their
mid-tier.
lineup. It was like the Stellar Color Hex lineup with Blase
This
playing
week,
tank.
yeah. This week, so they get rid of Note, who was playing well for RCK. This week, they bench RCK completely, put Blase at flex tank, and then play Stellar at DPS.
Oh
I like
man.
Stellar. I think Stellar's a good DPS. I think Color Hex is okay. but it just doesn't make any sense. They're the one of the teams who are bottom of the barrel, and they're starting to experiment, or I guess they've been experimenting,
Yeah.
and it just does not look good. Like I don't feel comfortable really, like unless they're the absolute kind of gamble team right now in fantasy, where they cost nothing, even though the players are probably going to be playing maps. And then you just really just, if you take a shot on them, you're taking a shot in the dark, because
Yeah.
nobody knows how they're going to perform. It just seems like they're going to perform poorly, whoever's in there, because they don't want to play a real lineup. Like, if you told me they were going to run Color Hex, Stellar, RCK, Fusions, Aim God, Kellex, on paper, that looks like a good lineup to me, and it looks like a lineup that could have been in the playoffs if they had kept running it.
Yeah.
But like after this past week, I really have no idea what to expect from them.
So, because I know I hear the Moneyball statement thrown around all the time with Boston, and I think that worked out season one, especially for them because of their coaching staff. Like, Krusty apparently was insanely good. I mean, he's coaching probably the best team in the Overwatch League right now, and like that, those results keep following him. So I think you have to, man, if you want to be a team that can make mediocre players into an incredible team, something needs to be star quality. And if it's not a player, it needs to be a coach. And I think Goomba is like a good coach, but I don't think he's a crusty coach. Like, you need like a star
It's
level
also,
coach.
and yeah, if you're not going to get it from your coach, you need to get it from your players. Like, the Justice have a ton of swag because Corey and Stratus are having the time of their lives. Guido's a fun guy. Ark is like so PMA, so positive. Like, the Uprising had that in Gamsu. Like, Gamsu is a trim he's in my opinion, he's a top five leader in the Overwatch League. He's since his days in League of Legends, like, he was all about, being the chef for his team, like
Yeah, it's
cooking for the
true.
boys. Like, he's so PMA. He's got like he's PMA, but he's also super focused.
He's
He's
been
a
one of the
very competitive
frontrunners for
guy.
the Dennis Hwaka Award, right? Yeah,
He's got
see.
this cute dog. Like, he has this whole like aura to him that like screams good leader. And then you get rid of him because Fusions is performing well. And I think, like, if I'm a Korean player on that team, losing Gamsu hurts. And if I'm a competitive player like Aim God, and I've been known for being a nasty support player and then putting up a ton of points, like, even if Persia's good, like, it doesn't feel right to, one, have my main tank get traded away, and then two, it doesn't feel good to just get benched and not have chances to come in and play. So I think they really sacrifice leadership, and instead it's all about the feedership.
From leadership to feedership. Oh, unfortunate. But it's an unfortunate truth, and we have to accept that when we're talking about real things on this podcast. So we say goodbye to our good players on Boston, and we say goodbye to our good fantasy points from Boston. So that'll wrap up our leaders and feeders for the week, and that brings us to our daily world. And in which case, we got to talk about Foul Play Friday. Taya, how did you do on Friday? How did you do? How'd your team score?
I think my team scored pretty well, but I did not win. I would have liked to have won, but I did not win. I will say that.
You got top 10, though.
I put in two teams, because we had the option to still, although that's changing soon, and because I wanted to give my Libero team a chance. I thought it'd be kind of fun. And then so I'm just looking at it real quick. I think my top team was fifth overall. My Teppo's Friday Fellas got fifth, and the
Friday
All Faith and
Fellas.
Libero team got 32nd.
Nice.
And my
Wait,
Friday
you
Fellas were
didn't get
pretty good,
fifth
actually.
on Friday?
Am I? I'm not. I think I'm looking at Friday.
Oh, I'm looking at Thursday. That's my bad.
Oh yeah. Yeah, so on Friday, like, I had the Friday Fellas had Sherfor, Mekko. Mekko was like a huge value. He put up 200 points
Yeah,
on Thursday, which
he
was
scored
sick.
insanely
I mean,
well,
on
which is
Friday,
so cool.
sorry. And then, I went with the Shock Boys, Choyobin and Violet, who each had over 150, and I got a huge week from Sherfor putting up 235. I did not expect that against the Fuel, but that's how the cookie crumbles.
That is true.
So I had a good week, but Not number one. Not no. quite number one.
So who won was Bentham 06. Hopefully wasn't born in 2006. That would be wild. But Bentham 06, congrats on your Foul Play Friday win. Blowing out the competition, he beat the next highest scorer by like over 30 points, it looks like. So huge win. That's really well done. But he also played Mecco, which was a big win.
Yep. Mecco is huge.
So his total point count was 1,178.91 points. Big scores. Decay got 186.28. Corey got 154.09. Then for tanks, he had Mecco with 200.53. And he also played Sansam, who got 182.66. Shaz got 255.80 points. Unbelievable. The Los Angeles Big Geese are big fantasy point winners. Always choose the Big Geese. And Jonak got 199.55. Very respectable score, but just it's tough when you're right beside Shaz.
And what we're seeing there is that, like, in dailies, if you can find value for cheap, you can pay up somewhere else, you know. So Shaz has been scoring well all season, so he cost, I think he was like 21 points or something.
And Jonak's like,
and Jonak was around 20 as well. So the fact that he was able to get Mecco for 10 and Sansam probably for under 17, 18 allowed him to pay up heavy for Shaz and Jonak. And Corey was still a little undervalued last week. He was probably under 17, something like that as well. So the fact that he was able to get like that combination of Corey, Mecco, and Sansam all for great value allowed him to pay up for Decay, Shaz, and Jonak.
Exactly.
And, you know, he lucked out in a way he lucked out because Decay and Shaz went to so many maps. But even if they hadn't gotten a map 5, he still would have scored probably top 10 with that lineup.
It's true. Well, I have to remind you, too, here we don't believe in luck. It's all intelligent choice.
Skill. And big was, brain.
Yeah, a lot of psychic foresight and really used that ability to win. So, I mean, congratulations to Bentham 06. I hope you're listening because, dang, this was one of the best scores we've ever seen on this podcast. Yeah. So, huge win. Congrats on winning Foul Play Friday. I will say, on Thursday, my team did win. Very pumped about that. Finally, I took a win in literally my league, so that feels good. Very excited about that. So, thank you for all that participated in the Foul Play 50s across all 4 days, and a big thank you to the ones that participated in our featured league on Friday. Huge congrats. Enjoy your literally insane amounts of experience, Bentham 06. 50,000 is an absurd number. So
yeah, and we have to give the shout out to you, though, because you said that you know, Bentham's top score is one of the best scores we've seen, because he put up 1178. You put up 1207. So
I did.
You put up Thursday to win Thursday, you had to have put up so many points, and you did the thing.
I sure did. Feels good.
Yeah.
Yes. So I mean, if you want to, like, I'll put a PO box on Twitter if you want to send flowers or like a trophy or whatever, I'll accept it.
Yeah, just thank the congratsies.
So yeah. It's nice to be validated for all the, you know, hard fantasy content creation I've been done.
Yeah, like, and I'd like to give a quick shout out to, you know, these other content creators who got in there. You know, Ramses on Thursday did pretty well. He got third.
Right.
Edinar got 11th, you know. And I just like to say, and Blaze and Bob had 15, you know. So, and Totemly went for 19th, you know. So I'd just like to say, like, you know, good job, way to participate, but there's no trophies for participation, and on average, we outscored them, so.
It's true, so yeah, just big, thanks big for attending, brains. Big fan. Let's thanks not talk about in. Any of the other leagues, but whatever. So, let's talk about our schedule this week, because we need a fun mantra for it, but like, map 5, score, points. Who do I start section? This week, London Spitfire, place, Atlanta Reign. New York Excelsior has the week off, I believe. I want to make sure that's right. I think they do. Sorry, this is bad podcasting. Yes, no, they do have the week off. Okay, good.
Yep, them and the tight ends have the week off.
Okay, good. I did record that right. The Guangzhou Charge play the Dallas Fuel. Florida Mayhem play Boston and Toronto. Boston play Florida and LA Valiant. Philadelphia Fusion plays Seoul. Washington Justice plays Atlanta and Paris. Toronto Defiant plays Florida. Houston plays Chengdu. Los Angeles Valiant plays Boston. Los Angeles Gladiators plays Los Angeles Spark. Paris Eternal plays the Dragons and the Justice. Chengdu Hunters play the Shock and the Outlaws. Shanghai Dragons play the Dynasty and the Eternal. Seoul Dynasty play the Dragons and the Fusion. Hangzhou Spark play the Fuel and the Gladiators. Dallas Fuel play the Spark and the Charge. San Francisco Shock plays the Chengdu Hunters. Vancouver Titans have the week off. And Atlanta Reign plays Washington and London. So, we're going to go into our potential five mappers section like we normally do. However, this week we're going to give you four and one game from each day. So when you are looking at your Fantasy Owl website, you're looking at your daily format, if you want to be like, okay, Foul Play told me that this game's going to go to five, so I know I can be confident paying a decent amount for these players. You can have faith in our choices. I won a league. I'm on top of the world, so all my choices are brilliant. Follow behind. So, Taoyama, why don't you take one of our games to start us off?
Yeah, so just from Thursday, I think Seoul, or we both think, actually, Seoul and Shanghai mm-hmm. is a great chance to go to five. Shanghai, you know, I think last stage we would have thought that this would be a blowout in favor of Shanghai. But this stage, like, even though they kind of innovated the usage of DPS post-GOATS, they've been struggling here and there mm-hmm. this stage. And I think, you know, Diem is on the bench. And, I mean, hopefully we get to see a return of Fleta and Diem this week as these two teams play each other. But it's pretty unclear, you know, and mm-hmm. both of these teams have been pretty inconsistent while being, you know, above average teams. So sure. It's got a high chance to go to five.
Cool. Yeah.
Yeah. You want to take the next one?
I'd love to.
Friday?
Yeah. So for the Friday game, the map five we want to feature is going to be Atlanta Reign versus the Washington Justice. Now, this is one team with literally everything to lose versus a team that has nothing to lose. Atlanta is right in that middle ground of could drop out of playoffs and could even make it to top six. Like, they could fall out of top 12 or make it to top six. So Atlanta Reign, I think, is going to be... I mean, they're fighting for their lives, and Justice doesn't care, and that fuels them, apparently. So when two unstoppable forces, or at least teams with reason to be unstoppable forces, clash, I want to believe that this will be a great point-scoring game. At the very least, I don't think it'll be a 4-0 either direction, and so I think it'll be really good. Both teams just have absolutely clutch, insanely high scoring players. Like, you have Corey on the Justice, you have Erster on the Atlanta Reign. Dogman has been known to be a very good scorer in terms of fantasy, and also FRD is playing all the time now, so that'd be like,
yep,
just don't play Daco, just play FRD.
Yep.
But that's my map five. That's gotta be the
game of the week.
Yeah, to tell you the truth, this is like the one I'm least confident seeing will go to map five, and more just want to believe that I'll go to map five. I think that, but I do, and I would say I would be very confident playing players from either of these teams. Why don't you take Saturday?
Yeah. So for Saturday, you want me to do both? Actually,
yeah, sure.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So on Saturday, you have the Chengdu versus Houston matchup. Mm-hmm.
Yes.
And I have another one that I'm a little more confident in. I see Chengdu versus Houston because they're also both in that kind of like inconsistent realm where mm-hmm. they show up against certain teams, they don't show up against other teams. Houston kind of if Shanghai innovated DPS post GOATS, Houston has innovated inconsistent play against different teams, you know, since the beginning of time.
Okay.
So I see how this could be a sloppy, weird match. Mm-hmm. I do like that for Houston. Raucus has been playing pretty well recently.
Yeah. That clip of Raucus him killing Corey was so funny.
But
he trances right up to his face and then kills him.
I dig it. Raucus gets a ton of crap because Houston has such a big fan base and mm-hmm. people magnify a lot of his issues, but he pops off sometimes. And I like how he that play in particular, like you could tell this guy's playing balls to the wall, and it's good for him to just let loose a little bit, you know. So yeah, I get the potential there, although I think Chengdu is gonna kind of, I think Chengdu is gonna slap them a little bit. My other take would be Seoul versus Philadelphia, because they're like, you know, Philadelphia is a lot more inconsistent than Seoul recently, but everybody knows their potential. Everybody knows the mechanical skill on that team. Mm-hmm. And I think they're going to go 100% against a team like Seoul. And I think after last week's embarrassing loss to the Titans, I think Philly's got a great chance to turn it around against a team who's obviously not as talented as the Titans. Seoul is mechanically gifted, but their lineup decisions can be weird sometimes. Mm-hmm. And because of that, they're pretty inconsistent. Whereas like Philly runs that same lineup game in, game out, and it's just on them to perform. And I think they're going to turn it around against the Dynasty and make it a close game.
Yeah. Yeah. I see where you're coming from. I don't know. I don't have as much faith in Fusion in terms of winning games, but yeah, in terms of fantasy points, I think Fusion are always a nice safe bet, because you know, they'll always be playing and you're not paying ludicrous prices for them in your daily format. So I do think they are a good option. I just think Chengdu versus Houston is that scrappy kind of game I could see going to five. Like, I could see Jinmu popping off until Linkser catches some wind and shoots him in the head a couple times. I could see Dante playing out of his mind and deadlifting a team to a win. Like, I don't know. I want to see there's faith in there. I see Elsa scoring really well. I don't see Spree scoring really well. So in terms of fantasy, I'm only saying that for map five, and I'm being like, okay, but if you're playing players from those teams, be very careful about which ones. So that's my defense against that team. But I want to talk about London versus Atlanta. Now, you called Atlanta versus Washington game of the week. This is my game of the week. It's London versus Atlanta. London, don't get me wrong, London is better. London is better in almost every way. In like every role, I think London should dominate Atlanta. But I'm putting a lot of faith in the we have to win and we're going to win. There's so many players on this team that could be considered like the, I don't know how to else describe it, like the cheerleader of the team, you know, like the team that like slamming the table and rallying everybody up before a game. I see that all over Atlanta. London looked pretty bad against some other teams this stage. I think there's a chance that they could steal this win. And if they do, it's huge for Atlanta's like playoff implications. That's massive. But I could see it being a good game, at least going to five. I don't know if I see Atlanta winning this, but man, I think Urser's going to score extremely well. That's map five game.
That's a sick matchup. Urster versus Profit, I'm really looking forward to.
Old gods and, versus the new.
Yeah, like Urster just like has now he's become the Hanzo Genji guy that used to just be Profit's realm.
He is the Shimada bro.
Yeah, he has become the consensus, the unified Shimada bro. And then another matchup that's very fun just in terms of cheerleading and kind of player personality is, you know, Dogman's kind of taken that mantle as the flex support who talks the most shit and is the goofiest. But I've always been pretty tied to a Bedoshin for just being a maniac, and like you can tell that guy's always talking shit. He's always laughing. He's always kind of felt like what's his name, Michael Myers or somebody like playing a role, playing like he's an Overwatch character, and like he's a funny dude, and they both play with so much flair. You know, when you talk about bloodthirsty supports, Bedoshin has always been one of the most bloodthirsty, and Dogman's kind of emerged in that sense as well. So I think that's really fun. Those two matchups in particular from players are really fun.
Yeah, those Zenyattas I think is going to be a really cool stylistic matchup. I'm excited. I'm even more excited to watch that game now. Like, it is by far the game I'm most excited for.
Yeah, and you know, neither of those guys wants to switch to an Ana and focus on healing. They both want to be laying in damage. So
it's true. We'll see. I think they will, but I don't see them. Okay, cool. So after our potential map fives, we have to talk to you about our uh-ohs for the week. These are the games that we think are going to be, if not 4-0s, ceremonial 4-0s in terms of fantasy points. We don't think these are going to be scoring you lots. First on this list, I put Boston versus Florida. Florida's looking hot right now for once in their flipping lives, and Boston sure is not. So I see this being a pretty clean sweep, but you had someone else as your Thursday.
Yeah, I definitely agree that Florida should slap Boston around, but I figured it was also worth mentioning Hangzhou versus Dallas, because, like, you know, sure, Dallas is playing loose, Dallas is playing however they're playing, you know, AKM's playing well, and Harry Hook is standing in for Unko admirably, but Hangzhou, like, there were some moments last week where it felt like they were really starting to get it together. You know, Rhea's Roadhog is looking a lot better. Godsby was really popping off on the Hanzo here and there. And I think they'll be excited to just kind of lay the hammer down against an inferior team.
All right. Well, you believe in the spark more than I do, but yeah. Okay. We'll call that one an uh-oh. I think Dallas has a chance to win that game, actually. So yeah, we'll see.
Yeah, we'll have to see then.
My next uh-oh is the spark again, because they suck, versus the Gladiators. I don't even need to talk about it. They could put Hydration in as main support, and we win this. Ironic, he's actually a really good Lucio, too, so I wouldn't be too worried. But yeah, I think Gladiators wipe the spark off the map and kick them out of the top six. Anyway.
All right, yeah. We'll have to see. I just will say, like, in Hangzhou's defense, you know, last week they lost a close one to New York. Actually, maybe that means that they're garbage because they lost to New York. But either way, they also spanked the Hunters 3-1. So if the Hunters are a mid-tier team, then maybe the Spark are somewhere around the mid-tier as well.
Yeah, maybe you're right.
And speaking of the Hunters, my candidate for uh-oh of the day on Friday would be Chengdu versus the Shock, because the Shock look incredible right now. They have to look like the favorites to win the whole thing.
Yeah.
And the Hunters look like this, you know, the mess that they've always been. They're really fun, but, you know, fun doesn't guarantee you wins. So I think there's a chance that the Shock just come out guns blazing and win it. At the same time, this one could go to five, because who knows, maybe the Shock decide to play Striker and Nevix the whole time. But if the Shock are on their A game and the Hunters are being the Hunters, then this could be a big uh-oh.
Yeah. All right, so I'm going to take, I think, just both our Saturday and Sunday.
Yeah.
Sunday. So Valiant versus Boston. Valiant is a team that needs every single map win, honestly.
Yep.
And Boston is eliminated from everything. And, man, they just look mentally demolished. I don't see that team doing anything, especially versus Valiant, when they need this win. And then our second one is Dallas versus the Charge. Charge looks unreal good right now. Whew. Like, if I was seated against the Charge in the play-ins, I would be packing my bags, ready to move back to wherever country I came from, because Charge is looking unreal good right now in this meta. They look like they're having fun finally. Like, I know this mixed roster thing gets thrown around everywhere and, like, people are nervous about it, but I don't know, maybe Charge is, like, not one of the first examples, because I think Gladiators make it work really well too, but that could just be because everyone's individually talented. Sparkle or Charge looks like they're kind of having fun on stage right now.
Yeah.
And I think that's awesome. I'm so excited for that. So, but they're playing against Dallas, and I think Charge is going to roll Dallas. I think Dallas's playoffs hopes are going to be dashed with this game. It would be neat if they won, but man, I sure don't think it's going to happen. So I think Charge is going to play extremely well. So that's it. Just definitely an uh-oh. I don't want to play players from definitely not Dallas and probably not Charge, but I guess we'll see.
Yeah, so the Charge have also been interesting because it's kind of them and San Francisco who have been able to run a DPS rotation comfortably. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of teams, when they run that DPS rotation, one of those players isn't scoring well. You know, like the Shanghai with the rotation between Diem and Young Jin, like, that's been super inconsistent for them.
Yeah.
But for the Charge, like, they really can play Happy, Nero, and Eileen at different times, and it hasn't impacted them negatively at all.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And also shout out to Hotba for keeping that flex tank role, even though you guys told me it was gone.
Yeah, that's
and he's
true.
Been playing super well.
You're right. I mean, I am all on the back on the Hoppa train. I was like right before the playoffs of last season, I was like, Hoppa's awesome. I love him. And then I was like, okay, maybe Poco should have been played. But like right now, I think Hoppa's unreal. Especially, I was listening to another podcast where one of the coaches from the Charge was on, and he was saying that like Hoppa's by far one of their best players and communicators.
The guy is
so good. Like, so I don't know. I'm a big fan of Hoppa. Very excited about the Chargers' potential for the postseason. I'm super excited.
Yep.
Okay. So that is our potential map fives and our potential uh-ohs. So thank you for bearing with us while we go in depth on those. Next, our final category we have are the sleepers. So we have last week, in terms of the support sleepers, I won by choosing Hagapin, scoring very well, netting me some great points. 181 one day, 172 the other day. Teo, you played Neko, got 169 one day and 150 the other day. So very close contest between the two of them, but very close contest. But anyway, great match. I was very excited about that.
Hago, Hago was the value of the week. That was wild. He put up so many points, and like even actually like that lineup right there. If you spent 25 total on Hago and Neko, you could have had a really good team because you would have been able to pay up elsewhere. And both of them, you know, they're both in the upper half of the league for points. So
this was a really cheap week in terms of like people that scored really well. Like Nero scored insanely well. I mean, Gladiators are all very expensive players and they scored well. So that's kind of a moot point in that area. But like Charge players scored extremely well, and like, I don't know, good points all around. Dallas got some. And speaking of Dallas, my support sleeper of the week pick is Harry Hook. I am believing that Harry Hook will stay in. I have no idea if that's true at all, but I just like to think that he will, so that my sleeper pick will win 2 weeks in a row. He is 13 points. And if he's playing flex support, you're getting insane value out of that. So I'm choosing Dallas. They have, I believe it's two games this week that I believe one is going to be close and the other I think not. So I'm pumped about having Harry Hook as my sleeper of the week. Very excited. Teo, who's your sleeper of the week?
Yeah, Harry Hook's a fun choice if he plays because he's that guy's aim is actually so legit.
Yeah,
flashbacks
exactly.
To his soldier play. Mine is I'm not excited by it, but it's Persia. If he's going to play all of the maps, then I might as well get some value out of it and get a flex support for only 10 points. Like it's possible that Persia shows up. It's possible that Aim God plays instead of him. Aim God should play instead of him, in which case Aim God would be a great value. I think
it doesn't really matter
around the same price, but it looks like he's not playing. So I'm going to go with Persia. I'm just taking that shot in the dark, even though I'm not super happy about it.
All right. Hey, I respect the pick. Okay, yeah. So for last week, Teo, you won our Tank Sleepers contest by choosing Mecco for only 10 points. Only cost 10 and netted you 200 points the first day and 59.6 the second day. But
not ideal.
200 points. No. I believe that was on Friday. Insane score coming out of Mecco.
In terms of single day value,
mental. It was like... so big win.
Yeah.
Big
one. The 59.6 was really bad. It's because NYXL did not get to, I think they got full held on like two of the four maps they played.
I think it was three of four.
It was rough.
I believe it was all three.
That sounds very appropriate.
So insane.
And then, you know, you had a decent week. You got 160.5 from Roar.
Yeah.
In the one game he played, you know, that worked out. That was good for 78th overall. So that was for main tank in particular, like that's great value.
Exactly.
It just wasn't quite as high as Mecco's single day value was.
That's true. And honestly, it's like, I don't know, it's good for this sleeper contest. You never really want to buy a main tank, but like, I mean,
no.
If you're in a bind and like, you're like, I need these high point scores elsewhere and you need to grab a 13 point player, Roar was a lucky option. Like he was your four leaf clover last week if you needed him, because 160 is not enough to make you lose a match make you lose top 10. A 160 will keep you in top 10 on a daily format. So
if you can pay up elsewhere, that's the entire point of these sleepers, is that like you'll accept something outside of the league leading points as long as you can get above average points for one of these sleepers, because it means you can go after somebody who's going to get, you know, like a Shaz who's going to put up a ton of points in one of their games.
Exactly.
So that's exactly where that value is.
Cool.
And speaking of, you know, getting that above average value from a main tank, my sleeper for this week is Pokpo. or Pakpo.
Yeah.
He costs 13 this week, which is right at that threshold. You know, it's just about 10-11% of your daily budget. Mm-hmm. And the Reign have two great games this week. I think both of them could go to five. Yep. So
they're both in our potential.
They're playing, they're playing the Justice and the Spitfire. So I think Pokpo, like, you know, ideally I'm getting a flex tank, but if I'm going to try and cut costs somewhere, I'll do it here with and get a main tank for 13 and just hope that it goes to five and that he can put up around that kind of 170 mark.
Yeah, it's huge. Cool. I like that pick. My pick is also a main tank. I'm choosing Gamzu, much in the same vein. I think Shanghai has some close games. I think Shanghai, I believe they're locked up for play-ins at the, well, no, they're technically not locked up for play-ins. They could lose. They probably won't. But I think Shanghai is still one of those teams that's going to be playing as hard as they can for seeding. And I don't know, maybe I have too much faith in those kind of teams, but I got big respect for a team that needs to win games. And so that's why I'm saying Gamzu maybe turn it around a little bit this week and score you some good fantasy points.
Yep, I think it's a good call. And sweet. You're not going to get a flex tank for this price. So
nope.
Gamzu is a good look.
Nope. So for the DPS category, sleepers last week, Teo, you won, choosing Libero, got 170.5 that first game, 76.6 the second one.
Yikes.
Blase was our honorable mention that we assigned to the absent A Smith, got 109.51 in one game, which, I mean, I guess okay, but pretty bad, actually.
That's all right. It was as a flex tank, so it's
right,
pretty funny.
When the option is to get 200, you're not getting that.
Yep.
And I chose Hurega, who got me a big fat old goose egg. Very unfortunate choice. But Vancouver's playing a little bit of experimentation game, which, I mean, all credits to them. I mean, it's worth it, but I
hate, it paid
I
off
hate
this
you.
Past week.
Yeah, I hate that team and hate the people who would make those choices. But there's not much to talk about there because I got 0 points. But we are able to talk about our upcoming sleepers this week. Teo, who did you choose for the DPS sleeper for stage four, week four?
So I was a little torn. I part of me liked the idea of going with Stellar since he got 100% of the playtime for the Uprising last week on DPS, and you know that would be cool. But I can't get two Boston Uprising players. I can't go 2 out of 3 for my sleepers.
Yeah.
So I went with the guy who I don't think he's going to repeat this performance, but I think he could do well, and that's AKM. So AKM last week in their 5-mapper, he had 200.6 points, which is actually a ton, you know?
Yeah.
And that was good for 18th overall. And then in their 4-mapper, he only put up about 89.3. So that range is definitely there, but the fact that that upper range can go up to 200 is something that I haven't seen from AKM in a while.
That's true.
So I'm kind of just like, my heart is hoping that Dallas is going to get into that kind of mayhem justice mentality where they don't really care and they kind of just play loose, and that though, you know, those flicks come more naturally.
Yeah.
So I'm not super, super thrilled, but you know, the Spark and Charge have been inconsistent in the past. I think the Fuel will lose, you know, 1-3 in both of those games. Mm-hmm. But I think AKM has a chance to put up decent points for the cost,
cool.
Which is what, 13. Yeah.
All right. Yeah, I think it's a really good pick. Honestly, I was thinking about doing it until that I saw that you had already picked. but my DPS sleeper of the week is going to be Yang Xiaolong. He was kind of splitting time with Bacon Jack earlier on in the stage, but in their game against the Spark, which admittedly they lost 3-1, he actually played all 4 maps. So
okay,
he's only 11 points, so probably one of the cheapest on our sleepers list for this week. It really, if you are running that low, you have paid up a lot elsewhere.
Yeah.
But if you are able to need someone who needs to fill in that like 10 or 11 points you have left, I think he's a half decent DPS option. It's going to score you a decent amount of points. I think Chengdu has some like variable winnable games this week, like against Houston. I was saying before, I think is a good match for the Hunters, and I think I think he might score a decent amount. They're also playing Shock. I would not play him on the day they're playing Shock, but I would play him on the day they're playing Houston. So that's my choice for sleeper of the week, and I guess we'll see how the cards fall in stage 4, week 4.
Yeah, that's a good call as well. Just looking at, you know, we talked about role prioritization at the top of the show, and you know, Yang Xiaolong is in, him and AKM are kind of in a similar role where they're the more designated hitscan player out of their DPS rotation, so they're more likely to play the Widow and play the Reaper, and that role definitely has some value. Even if the projectile one is playing the Hanzo, is going to get more value. That projectile player is also going to end up playing the Mei, so you know, there's a great chance for, like, especially on control maps, you know, the this hitscan player to put up points. So it's worth going after them, especially, you know, for Yang Xiaolong. Like, if they go to five maps and he plays four of them, then he should still put up a ton of points.
And I mean, this is all predicated on the fact that the hunters play the meta, so I guess we'll see if that's even the case, but because you can't trust them with that. But that brings us to the end of the show. Thank you so much for listening to episode 43 of Foul Play. If you're catching us on YouTube, leave a comment, let us know what you thought. And if you are not, just let us know in Discord or leave us a 5-star iTunes review. We could use more of those. But make sure to enter our Fantasy Owl contests every day of the week. They are the Foul Play 50, and the Foul Play Friday is the one that we give by far the most attention to. We're going to be discussing your team if you win it, and congrats to our winner this week. We're looking forward to seeing you. Only 2 more weeks of regular season, so fantasy is really going to shift up after that, but enjoy this while we still have it. Thank you so much for me and for Teoyama. Have a great week and good numbers. Goodbye.
Goodbye.